I'd like to start with a question that maybe everybody here should be able to have kind of a thought with. Have you ever been somewhere that's hard to leave? Maybe it was Grandma's house when you were a kid and you went out there and she baked all the cookies and made all the goodies and did all the things and you just didn't want to go home. Grandma's house is always kind of fun. Maybe it was some kind of special vacation. You went on a trip and you had such a good time and the week just seemed to fly by. It was just way too short compared to what a work week feels like, right? And you're looking at it and you're like, man, it's Friday already and I got to go back home? I don't want to go. For me, that was probably when I was a kid. Church camp was like that. They packed me up and sent me to a camp where my parents got a vacation. And I had lots of people to hang out with and lots of conversation. And it was always a lot of fun and a lot of inspiration from it. And then you get to the end of the week and they tell you it's time to pack all the smelly, dirty clothes that you've probably worn way too many times because you didn't pack enough stuff. And you start stuffing all that, and it's time to go home. And you're just not ready. You're grateful for the experience you had, but let's face it, you're already mourning the fact that real life is awaiting for you. A life filled with folding laundry, paying bills, doing dishes, cutting grass. If you're a student, going to school, doing homework, doing chores. You're coming back to that, and you're thinking, I think I'd rather just stay right where I am. I'm perfectly content doing what I'm doing. A couple of weeks ago, Deborah and I had the pleasure of returning to the Cove. And this is a place that is a retreat, and they were putting on a minister's and his wife's retreat. And I don't know if I would call this a vacation, because it had a schedule. I don't like schedules on my vacation, so this was not a vacation. However, it was refreshing because it was one of those moments that we were supposed to be able to focus more on God and our spiritual needs and just kind of do a little R&R, not worry about things. It's especially nice because we didn't have to fix our meals. Somebody cooked for us. We didn't have to make our beds. We got up in the morning and got to go where we wanted to go, and we came home at night, and the bed was all made. There were no sermons to prepare. Wow, that's a new experience. There were no slides to set up, no building prep to do. You just got to go and show up and worship. That feels nice sometimes. And, you know, I think that is where Psalms 84 actually meets us, because it isn't about vacation. It's about a pilgrimage. Now, I'm not talking about the guys with the funny hats and the black coats and the way too many funky-looking shoes that sailed over here on a boat that we see at Thanksgiving time. Now, a pilgrimage is a person that travels. And the psalmist has traveled to Jerusalem for worship. And an amazing thing happened. He went to the temple and he encountered God at the temple. And now he's standing there on the edge of the road. It's time to go home. And as we read Psalm 84, we find out he's not ready to leave. Psalm 84 is a song for anyone who has met God and then had to go back to absolutely, positively normal life. It's hard sometimes. You get that idea why Moses was so hesitant to come down off that mountain, and he said, hey, I want you to put a veil over my face because I've been in the presence of God, and I don't want anybody else to see that fade because maybe I don't want to see it fade. See, when you get in the presence of God, really get in the presence of God, this idea of worship becomes joy. And let's be honest, okay? I can be honest with it, and I'm hoping you can. And we don't usually think of worship as joy. More often, we think of worship when it's connected to church. It's an obligation. It's something that I am expected to do. As a matter of fact, if I don't do it, then there may be some negative consequences to my life, because not only am I expected to be here, there are oftentimes I am made to be here. Somebody is in authority over me, and they're saying, you're coming or else. Then we weigh the or else, and we decide, I think I'll come, because the or else doesn't sound that good. So it's much easier to come and give an hour of my time sitting here than doing whatever it is I had planned. Do you realize that's not worship, right? Coming here out of obligation, coming here out of I have to, that is not worship. So again, if we're honest, we begin to think about this and we begin to ask the question, do I really need to come here to worship? Isn't God everywhere? Isn't he? Isn't God up in the mountains and down at the beach and over at the lake and out on the balls? Isn't God everywhere? Do I really have to come to a building to worship God? And well, the answer is no, you don't have to come to a building to worship God. He is everywhere. But let's be honest, do we really worship God when we go to those places? Or is it more of, I'm on vacation, so I get to take a vacation from worship also? Do I really arrive at those places and make God part of the adventure? Or is it kind of my time to get away from God too, right? I mean, I need a break from God sometimes. We begin to use these ideas as kind of a cop-out. Kind of an idea that, yeah, God, you'll be there when I get back. So Psalm 84 calls us to do something that we're not very good at. They want us to recenter our lives on this idea of pursuing God, which has been our theme for this year, and to learn how everyday worship flows out of gathered worship. Remember our thing that we did here back at the beginning when we were trying to show the connection, and I stretched the drop cord out, and you do understand the power that eventually powered the lamp that I stuck on the stage came from gathered electricity that was out there. So this idea that when I come to worship, when I come into a corporate setting, when I come to this building, God doesn't live in this building. He lives in us. But that also means that unless I show up, God doesn't show up. God is here because we are here. And so this idea of gathered worship does something for us. It's kind of like recharging the battery, because I can't stretch this extension cord to everywhere that you go in your life. So you have to kind of get those batteries charged so that you can go out. The psalmist shows us someone who met God in a concentrated and intentional way. And here's the thing. Never the same afterwards. So that brings an interesting question as I look out. When you leave here today, are you going to go out the door as the same person you walked in as? You'll have the same name. Trust me, you'll be wearing the same clothes. You'll have all of the mannerisms that you brought with you. But are you going to go out the exact same person in your soul? This psalm is often read as a desire to go to the temple. But it's a longing to remain in God's presence. So I'm in Psalm 84. Hopefully you got the cue from Lynn's reading, and maybe you've taken the time that you grab a copy of the scripture out of the pew rack or the one that you brought with you, and you thumb to the pages. And if you haven't, I encourage you to grab one and start turning with me, because this isn't a bounce sermon. We're going to be in one spot the whole time. You'll be able to follow right along. I encourage you, go to Psalm 84, and I'm going to start at a very good place. How about we start at verse 1? And it starts with two simple words. How lovely. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Now, in our culture, we hear that word lovely, and it sounds kind of mild to us. Isn't that lovely? Aren't the flowers lovely? Wasn't the song they sung lovely? That's not what it means in Hebrew. When that word is closer to the word beloved, that sounds kind of weird. Beloved? is your dwelling place. Beloved is where I am. You have to appreciate this is not polite admiration where we look at God and say, aren't you just wonderful, God? This is genuine affection. Do you have a genuine affection for God? Or do you just come here because, you know, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for some entertainment, or I'm looking to not get in trouble, or I'm looking. Do you come here because you have a genuine affection for God? What the psalmist is actually saying is, oh, how I love this place. It's dear to me. It matters to me that I am here. As he moves to verse 2, we get the idea, my soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yearns, faints, cry out. The psalmist is telling us, I wanted to come here more than any other thing I could put on my schedule. And now I'm here, and it's even better than I imagined. I am now standing in God's presence, and I could not imagine that God could talk to me in the way that he's talking to me. I could not imagine that God could have done any more than my imagination, but he's met my imagination. He's exceeded it. The word long for in Hebrew has the long and yearn carry the ideas of craving and exhaustion. He gets there, he just wants to be there, and when he's all done, he's exhausted, but it's exhausted in a good way. You ever done a really fun activity, like go swimming, and when you're all done the swimming, you had lots of fun, and what do you want to do when you're all done? Eat, take a nap, or just eat and go veg out, right? You've used all of your energy up. That's where he's at. He brought energy into the building, and he took none out of the building because he left it all on the table. He put it all before God. And this is important because he didn't come to the building, to the temple, because it was convenient. Oh, I looked at my calendar and there's nothing else on it. So you know what? Oh, look, there's a church service today. So I think I'll just do that. He didn't look at his calendar or his idea and say, well, this is convenient. They're close by. It doesn't take me a long time. They're pretty relaxed back there. I don't have to get all dressed up. So he didn't make it a convenient thing. No, he worked to be here, and it was worth the work that he put in. So I get a moment to thank here, because we gather for worship weekly. It takes a slot on your calendar, right? Let me ask you a question. How much prep did you do to get here? Well, I brushed my teeth. I took my shower. I put my clothes on. I made sure my car had gas in it. I drove my car here. I got here. I picked up my communion and I sat in my seat. Okay, so you prepared your body to be here. What did you do to prepare your soul to be here? Anything? Or are you counting that when you walk in the door, you sit down, that there's some kind of little magic switch that God reaches in and goes, flip, your soul's now active, ready to receive input. If you're going to find this place amazing, you're going to have to do some prep work in your soul before you get here. You cannot walk into this building 5 minutes before the service starts, sit in your seat and say, okay, fill me up. That's not how this works. That's not how God works. Longing and yearning. My heart and my flesh cry out for a living God. So make sure you get this. He's not obsessed or impressed with the building. And that's an amazing thought. I understand the need for church buildings and a place to gather. But remember where this guy is standing. He is in Solomon's temple, the most extravagant worship facility that was ever put on this planet. That's where he's worshiping. He's got the Holy of Holies where God himself at one time dwelled in that place. That's where he's standing. But as you read the Psalms, he doesn't talk very much about the building. That's because this is not a tourist stop. You ever been on one of the tours where they take you around the churches to see the architecture inside the churches? They're kind of neat. I like them. Okay, we went in one in Boston when we were there just because we wanted to see what it looked like. It's kind of cool. But he's not sightseeing. He's not touring. He came in that building. And the reason it was so amazing, he was focused on a person, not a place. See, the psalmist came to meet the living God who promised to be present there. Did you know that's us today? The Bible tells us we're two or more gathered. So we don't have like thousands. There's not 3,000 here. There's not even 300 here. But there's definitely two. Okay? And the Bible says where two or more are gathered, I am there with you. Therefore, God is present today. He promised to be present today. And as he's wandering through his worship experience, he begins to look around the building, and he looks up, and he sees some birds that are nesting up in the eaves of the temple. They built their nests in their home inside the temple. And he begins to envy the birds. He says, blessed are those, make sure I'm in the right place, yes. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Blessed are these birds because they get to stay here where you are, and they get to sing all day long. Now, we used to have a bird problem in this church. Does anybody here remember these things? We had birds that would squeeze their way through the grid in the attic, and they would find their way in here, and then there was a little hole in the ceiling over here, and they would squeeze their way through the hole in the ceiling, and they come into this area because we didn't have something open. They come into the baptistry and come out here, and the first thing you know, you come in, you've got bird poop on the pews. And inevitably, you find the bird has beat itself to death on the window because once he got in, there was no way out. You understand, this building wasn't his home. So he got in here, but what was his inkling? Out. And since he couldn't go back the way he came, he decided, well, there's a door, there's an exit, and he would just bang himself up against that window. That's not these birds. These birds have made a home. And the psalmist is jealous of the birds because the birds get to stay where he wants to stay. But he can't because it's time to leave. But he doesn't want to. He did not come to a worship service. I almost want to ban that word in the church these days. You're not coming here to a service because you understand when I say you're coming to a worship service, who do you think is getting served? You. I'm coming to a worship service like I drive my car into a car wash. What do I expect to have when I leave the car wash? A clean car. So what do I expect to get when I leave this building? Well, if you're coming here because you're coming to a worship service, you're expecting something to clean you. But you're not coming to a worship service because you're supposed to be the worship server. You are serving the God within your worship. That's a flip in your mentality right there. That will change the way you look at worship. But he can't stay. So he does what he has to do. He turns to the road that leads away from the temple. And as he turns, he begins to say, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. Time to go home. He's leaving the temple, but not the presence of God, because that's going to go with him. His body is full of God's strength, so he's taking something out of the building, more than he brought in. His mind is full of God's faithfulness. He's walked around the temple. He's met with the priest. He's seen God's presence. Because remember, we're in the Old Testament. That's where God dwelt. But he also knows what's waiting for him. He says what's waiting for him is the Valley of Baca. And they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. And so the journey home passes through this valley, and that word means a dry desert or shrub or a word of weeping. Maybe he's talking about both here, but this isn't going to be an easy trip home. And that's how worship works. The road away from worship can actually feel dry and sad because I was excited to be here. So as he's leaving, he talks about making springs, which means he's going to have to keep on digging. In the desert regions, water often lies beneath the surface. So that means if you're going to survive that sad, dry moment, you're going to have to dig into what you got in your worship. Which means if you took nothing out of it, what are you going to dig into? He has to look because it says the rains are going to cover. So he has to look up. There's the storm clouds are coming. We're hoping they go somewhere else tonight, okay? But there's the storm clouds are coming. I have to look for God's blessings on my trip home. And then he begins to talk about the idea of the strength for the journey. If you've ever been on a long trip and then you go home, you start on the way home, about halfway home, you decide next year we're taking a shorter trip because I don't like to drive home. The drive home is miserable. Verse 7 says they go from strength to strength till each appear before Zion. So literally what he's saying is I'm going from stronghold to stronghold. My journey home is built on something other than the building that I'm leaving behind. Even in the wilderness, the psalmist feels protected because he remembers God, faithfulness, all the things that he's done for his life. It creates a longing to go back. You see, that is where we end up. We begin to say, look on our shield, oh God. Look with favor to your anointed one. That's his prayer. God, I'm leaving this place, but please come with me. He is not saying, watch me, give me safe traveling mercies home, protect me. He's saying, I am looking for you, God. Please look back. Never let me be out of your attention. In about a week, I'm going from being a bivocational minister to this is going to be my focal point of attention. And I've been warning the elders. There is nobody on this planet that wants to be the center of my attention. Because I can be a pretty intense little person that stays awake a lot. But the psalmist is looking at God and saying, God, I'm leaving the temple. Please make me the center of your attention. You ready to play that kind of prayer for God? Do you want to be his center of attention? Yeah, that sounds cool. Do you want to be his center of attention? Do you know what comes with that, right? See, this is what it says. Landon Tim, thank you. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I love that. It's better than the beach. It's better than the campsite. It's better than the amusement park. It's better than just watching online. Coming in the presence of God is so good that I would rather be the doorman at the temple than have to go out and live in all the other places that I think about. I would rather have to have a job there to come there and stay there than to go back and live the life that leads me down temptation's path. That's kind of serious, isn't it? That's a serious thought. Here's a better thought. Do you feel that way about your worship? Or do we worship more like, be careful where you're standing when Barry says amen, because, man, there's going to be a mad dash to who gets to the door first. Do you think about it this way? Do you look at worship this way? Because if you don't, it's easy to put other things in your calendar. See, the idea of worship is the idea of complete trust. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Notice it didn't say perfect. It says blameless, which means you repented. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I love this because the psalmist ends with confidence, not complaint. He isn't assessing the value of what happened in the building. He's saying, hey, God, I made this about you, and I am leaving with that in my mind. He tells us that God hasn't withheld the temple because he's cruel. He tells us that God has work for the psalmist to do. I can't leave you in this temple because you're going to be like that bird that beat himself to death. You're not designed to stay here. You're designed to be out there, taking what you got here and fueling a world that is lost. And God does not withhold good from those who walk uprightly. When you leave this building, I know it says where two are gathered, but Jesus also said, guess what? When you go out in my name, I'm with you always. I'm on this path with you. See, the road doesn't cancel the encounter. I've noticed something about vacations. It's not the pictures we take that changes. It's the moments that linger after we get home. After all, the laundry's still waiting. The bills still have to be paid. The grass still has to be cut. The inbox on my email is overflowing. But every now and then, something gives me a gentle reminder about that place. The memories sneak up on you while you're driving or standing in line at a store. And for a split second, you're not just remembering. You're being drawn back into the thoughts that you got when you're there. That's why Psalm 84 is important to us. It's the idea that I'm going there and back again. The psalmist doesn't say that he gets to stay in the temple, but the temple doesn't stay behind him. Why? Well, Paul answers that question for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor your God with your bodies. And I know where we usually apply this, but I want to go back. Your body is the new temple. So you come into your corporate worship so that we can help you gather that which you need so that your body can go back out there and do the work that God has put you out there to do. But here's the thing. The road is still going to have valleys. There's still going to be those dry points. There's still going to be moments of weeping. But now there are springs where there weren't any. There's encouragement. There is this idea that God is with me. And as I begin to walk, the goal is not what am I going to do with what I did today. The question is what am I going to do with myself on Monday. In my home, in my work, in my valleys. The highways of our hearts, the strength that didn't come from us. Maybe, just maybe, that's the purpose of coming to God's temple. So that I can walk the road. So that when I leave this place, I can absolutely, positively, 100%, no doubt, look at the person that says, how was church today? And instead of giving them the standard church answer, well, you know, minister went a little bit long. He took those rollover minutes seriously. Or maybe the idea is, well, you know, the songs were a little bit loud. Or maybe it wasn't my, instead of critiquing the worship, I can look at that person and say, you know what, better is one day in this place. And if you gave me the chance to spend thousands elsewhere. That's Psalm 84. The question is that your worship?